From Springfield, this is State Week, a program of analysis and commentary on the events that made news this past week in Illinois state government and politics.
I've learned never to say never, so I do not know what the future holds politically, but at this point, I'm not seeking re-election as Attorney General, and I have no immediate plans to run for any other office.
I believe that Lisa got out of the race so late because there was a concerted attempt to not have people who can get into the race. It's not easy to run statewide, so there's only going to be a few people who are really in a position to run this race.
I've been focused on putting the people over the powerful, focusing on ensuring that the office is used in a non-ideological manner, and so my message won't change in any way.
That was Republican attorney Erica Harold. She's a former Miss America. She's running for attorney general as a Republican. She announced a few weeks back. That was before Lisa Madigan announced she would not run for a fifth term. We heard from Madigan there and also from Scott Drury. He's a state representative who dropped out of the governor's race and now wants to run as a Democrat for Madigan's office. Kwame Raoul also announced this week his bid. We're going to talk about all the musical chairs with the attorney general's race. We'll also talk about Amazon, the push to bring a second headquarters for that company to Illinois, could bring a lot of jobs if the state is chosen. And politically, it would be a boon for Governor Rauner if that happens. Our discussion is ahead on State Week. In Springfield, I'm Sean Crawford, and joining me in the studio today, Charlie Wheeler. Charlie is director of the Public Affairs Reporting Program at the University of Illinois Springfield. Columnist Bernie Schoenberg with the State Journal Register also joining us in studio. And Bernie, thanks for being here.
Good to be here, Sean.
And also by phone from Chicago, the Chicago Tribune's political writer Rick Pearson. Rick, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Let's start with Bernie. I'll turn to you first. This attorney general's race, a couple of weeks ago, this was on nobody's radar because most people felt that Lisa Madigan had a pretty good upper hand to win a fifth term. Now it's wide open. It's sort of like the steam has been let loose. All these people that want to move up in the political ranks see an opportunity. Get your thoughts on what you're seeing so far.
Well, we are seeing a lot of pent-up interest in higher office come to the fore. You know, one of the people that almost immediately named herself as interested is Elaine Nekritz, who had been a longtime legislator from Northbrook, north of Chicago. She's a Democrat and left the legislature in part clearly because of the frustration of getting things done in a legislature with a lot of deadlocks. So she threw her name in. State Senator Kwame Raoul had talked in the past about wanting to be attorney general when everybody thought Lisa Madigan was going to run for governor 4 years ago. She then pulled herself out of that. So Senator Raoul stepped forward. There was immediate speculation what happens to Erica Harold, who ran for in a primary for Congress a few years ago against Rodney Davis in Central Illinois and lost as a Republican, but she's a practicing attorney in Urbana. She is the 2003 Miss America, which gives her a little immediate note. She's been involved in, prison reform kind of issues or help to people behind bars in getting their lives together. And she's a Harvard Law graduate, so she has a lot of credentials. There was some thought the Republicans might look for somebody else, but clearly late in the week, I think it was 45 state legislators were named on a list of people endorsing her. So clearly the party is getting behind her.
And one of those was Jim Durkin. His name had floated as somebody who might run.
Yeah, this is, you know, unlike many other offices in Illinois, you do have to be an attorney to be attorney general. And so lots of people with that credential are looking at it. And it will be rather interesting to see if there's a Democratic primary or if anybody challenges Erica Harold on the Republican side.
And Rick, I guess when it comes to Lisa Madigan, the question had been, why now? Why make this decision? It seems as though a lot of folks aren't necessarily buying that she just says she wants to move on to some other challenges. In fact, there had been thought that she might try to run for mayor of Chicago down the road. What are you hearing up there regarding her political future, if there is one?
Well, I think obviously the timing is what struck everybody because, you know, just a few weeks earlier, she had representatives attending the Cook County Democratic slate making, urging support for her reelection. Petitions were out. There was no reason to think that she wasn't going to be the candidate. A lot of speculation, not necessarily people who were in the know, about just the fact that there might be a job offer in the private sector out there, that, you know, with two young children, time to go make some money in the private sector, that her father still staying in as the longest serving House Speaker, effectively blocking her political future. She disdained the idea that she would run against Rahm Emanuel next year, not interested in governor. You know, she's her political career has always been somewhat of a conundrum because, you know, she starts out in the state Senate, moves to attorney general, no doubt enjoys an executive office more than a necessarily legislative one, even though her name had been floated out there as a potential U.S. Senate candidate at some point. And so I think, quite frankly, if anything, it's probably more of a time out to make some money, and she'll be back.
Charlie, are you surprised to see this type of, I mean, people usually don't take these time off, or time outs, I guess you would say, from politics in Illinois. And if they do, it's usually not on their own volition. And here she's done it. Did it surprise you to see her not run again, or did you kind of understand the reasoning?
Well, it surprised me that she's not running again, but I can understand why she may want to, as we say, take a time out. As you mentioned, she has young children. I think at least one of them is getting on to preteen or adolescent years. Maybe she wants to spend more time with her kids, which would be very understandable to someone who's a parent or a grandparent, as I happen to be. She may be interested in making some money, because even though the executive officers in the state of Illinois get paid better than most Illinoisans, it doesn't compare to what a top-notch lawyer can make in a private firm. Or it could be that she's not looking forward to what would be a horribly nasty, vitriolic, mudslinging, negative, repulsive campaign, which the Republicans, through Bruce Rauner and his allies' money, are going to run against all Democrats, targeting her father, as we've said on the show before, the worst thing since a combination of Darth Vader and Lord Voldemort. And to make clear, the Democrats are going to do the exact same thing. They're going to try and paint people as being puppets of Bruce Rauner and the plutocrats. So it's just going to be just a lousy campaign. And if any public policy issues get discussed, or the record of the Attorney General in terms of consumer protection, environmental protection, that'll be kind of accidental along the way. And she maybe just didn't have the stomach to go through that garbage.
Well, Bernie, let's go back to the people who have announced so far. It's only been Scott Drury and Kwame Raoul on the Democratic side, Erica Harold on the Republican side. You're expecting more people are going to jump into this?
Remains to be seen, and Rick might know more. It's a very tempting thing because when you have someone named Madigan who has maintained her popularity despite who her father is, you know, Speaker of the House, Mike Madigan, who is also chairman of the Democratic Party, people who are attorneys and who want to move up from the legislature or other elective office, it's just been a difficult thing to see because you can't take on the incumbent of your party. And for Republicans, it's been taking on a Madigan, you really have to have your life in order and be willing to make that sacrifice of a year and a half of, as Charlie said, horrible campaigning and still have a life. And I think Erica Harold fits that because she is an established attorney and, you know, has her own national reputation based on the Miss America thing.
Scott Drury mentioned at the top of the show, we heard a cut from him where he talked about the timing of this, that he felt it was orchestrated in some way to prevent many people from jumping into this race that only possibly the Democratic Party establishment's chosen person would get in. Rick, you think there's any truth to that?
I think, frankly, this took everybody by surprise. And from what I've been hearing, that while the Speaker might have known it was coming, it wasn't with great advanced knowledge here. So, I mean, look, you need 10,000 valid signatures. You only need 5,000, but you file 10,000 valid signatures statewide to get on the ballot. And if you have any kind of an organization, that shouldn't be that difficult. But it is going to take a lot of money because you're assuming here that Bruce Rauner and through the state GOP, they're going to be funding Erica Harold. But you're going to need money to get through the after the primary, too. And I expect that there will be still more candidates coming out just because it's such a rare break in kind of the order of the Democratic ballot. And I still think there's some names out there. I mean, you mentioned Bernie Elaine Nekritz. I think it's possible she gets in. But I really think the idea that this was orchestrated somehow, I mean, it could be Scott Drury's former running mate, his former campaign manager, who's 26, telling him that that was a good idea to say that.
I'd just like to, you know, Scott Drury has, I guess it's fair to say his campaign for governor didn't exactly get a lot of traction, but his key point was, I'm taking on Mike Madigan. I was the one member of the House on the Democratic side who did not vote for him for Speaker. So he has, let's see, in the terminology of campaigns, thrown lots of arrows at the party of which he is a part. So it doesn't divert very much from his modus operandi to say, oh, the party's doing all this stuff.
I also hear he's a former federal prosecutor.
It's a thing he apparently likes to say from time to time during conversations.
And that's one of the real popular misconceptions about the attorney general, that the attorney general should be out there investigating criminal activity. That's not the role of the attorney general. The Constitution and the executive article actually says the attorney general shall be the legal officer of the state and shall have the duties and powers that may be prescribed by law. And usually, going back 50 or more years, attorney generals have concentrated on consumer fraud, environmental protection. Lisa Madigan was involved in trying to shut down meth production in Illinois. She was involved in going after the student debt loan servicers who were cheating students and guiding them into more costly repayment arrangements than what were available under federal law. So she's got really a long record of doing the kind of things that attorneys general always have done. And the one time she got the most attention when she tried to get involved in looking into wrongdoing, criminal wrongdoing, was back when she was looking at some of the Blagojevich administration hiring practices, and the U.S. attorney, in essence, told her to back off because he was in there and he didn't want her to mess up his investigation.
None of this, of course, stops any attorney general candidate from saying they're going to be tough on crime, because that sells well. And I remember, and you know, one time years ago, somebody had the slogan "less attorney, more general." it didn't work.
Yeah, but
it didn't work.
Matters,
but it was an idea.
The criminal stuff is left up to the state's attorneys in the 102 counties of Illinois, and the federal prosecutors in the three districts in Illinois.
Well, Democrats are losing a big vote-getter, proven vote-getter, by Lisa Madigan not running again. And they've got another issue that they're dealing with, especially in the Chicago area. Rick, it's that soda tax, which has been, it seems to be, pretty unpopular. And now we've been hearing some rumors that Democrats are going to take some steps to possibly get rid of this tax, either through the county board or maybe even the legislature getting involved. What's the latest on this?
Well, there's no doubt that the sweetened beverage tax, as it's known here in Cook County, has just widespread opposition, despite the fact that former New York Mayor Mike Bloomberg has pumped in millions of dollars worth of TV and radio advertising in support of it. The fact is, I think Democrats are concerned, and I even talked about this with back in August with at Slate Making here in Cook County about, you know, this kind of add-on of taxes. And when Chris Kennedy announced Rod Joy as his running mate, he even suggested, too, that Democrats who have some kind of feeling statewide that 2018 is going to be a cakewalk, take a look at the income tax increase here in Chicago, property tax increases, and then you throw in this penny per ounce sweetened beverage tax, all of a sudden, maybe it's not that cakewalk that people think is going to happen.
So if the Democrats are that concerned about it, especially in that area, and I think we're hearing some even suburban Democrats up in that region are very concerned about it, even maybe outside of Cook County, Does this give Republicans something that, you know, they can jump on beyond just the income tax then? Is that something that you expect to see a lot about in the next election?
If this tax survives. Now, there are efforts to repeal and rescind the tax. And certainly there's a lot of political pressure on Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle to rescind the tax, and it is taking its toll. I mean, you've talked to Chicago aldermen. I talked to one last night, and they're getting blamed for the soda pop tax, which has nothing to do with the city council. It was the county board that did it. But you have a heavy opposition being stirred by the soda pop companies are fueling advertisements against it. And there's also, you know, when you go to the grocery store, you see that 2-liter bottle of soda costs almost 70 cents more because of taxes, or $1.44 for a 12-pack of soda costs. And it's itemized right there on your cash register receipt. And so, yeah, the pressure is building. And, I mean, as Tony Preckwinkle says, she's not even trying to make this about health. She's trying to say this is about, you know, $250 million to help operating costs for Cook County. And it's Bloomberg that's out there with advertisements that, oh, it's about the health of your kids. There's just a lot of anger over this thing.
And they had to know that this was going to happen. I mean, I like you said, Rick, you're talking about going into the store, seeing a price actually balloon up because of this tax. It's not like the income tax that sometimes people anymore, they don't even pay attention to what their final take-home check is. They get it direct deposited. They're not paying real close attention every week to what's being taken out. This is one of those that hits you right in the face when you see it.
It hits you in the face because if you're at the grocery store once or twice a week, I mean, it hits you in the face. And it's there in front of the pop display. They're right in front of all the prices are. Does not include Cook County penny per ounce sweetened beverage tax. And the rollout of it was horrendous. Retailers were charging the tax on bottled water that had no sweetener added to it. Restaurants are finding it confusing. It's still, and quite frankly, you know, there's even the issue too that if you're on benefit assistance for food, that because of federal law, that's not subject to the tax. And that's caused some consternation as well. So you have all of these elements, and I've kind of thought, just watching the pressure build, this may be a matter of not if but when some changes might be made. Because as you said, Sean, if this were like a percentage tax, like a, you know, your normal sales tax kind of thing, I think that would have had less of a sting to it than just how it's truly in your face.
Well, it occurs to me that when the legislature comes back in a few weeks to start the fall session, passage of legislation to ban this kind of tax would be a no-brainer. There have been bills introduced in both chambers already with a lot of sponsorship, including suburban Democrats, Cook County suburban Democrats, to repeal the thing. And if you put it up to a vote, that's the kind of thing everybody's got to vote for it. And then when it goes to the governor is going to sign it. He's not going to veto it.
And this is the kind of thing that, I mean, Republicans are already taking advantage of this, certainly with the kind of press releases reporters and other, I guess, activists would get, you know, which Democrats are not standing up and speaking against the pop tax and all of that. And yeah, it's like the old story that, you know, you can steal millions from your company, but if your employees see you, you know, using somebody's phone, I guess when they used to have pay phones or whatever, you know, something really simple. People understand the simple little tax, as Sean said, and this is a simple little tax that's on the receipt.
Well, and for the Republicans, the difficulty in the legislature would be, yeah, we want to continue to have this to hang over the Democrats, this millstone around their neck. But on the other hand, I can't really vote no on the repeal.
Well, of course, we've mentioned there that Democrats may have some issues. Of course, Bruce Rauner has issues that he's going to have to overcome to win re-election next year. But one thing that could help him a lot, and it could help some other politicians on both sides as well, is if Amazon were to choose to come to the state of Illinois. We're talking at least an estimated 50,000 jobs from a second headquarters in Chicago. Is certainly in the mix. I know some downstate Metro East area is also looking at this, but Chicago seems to be the one that a lot of people's focus is on. Bernie, I know you're not covering Chicago, but Bruce Rauner could use this win. He's the businessman governor, and he really hasn't been able to bring business to the state.
Right, and he does seem to be making nice with Rahm Emanuel, the mayor of Chicago, on this, because clearly it is a giant prize to get. And any giant location of a company with jobs, and certainly this number of jobs, would be a big deal. It was kind of interesting that when he was at a press conference earlier this week in Chicago, was able to see the tape later, he said. And by the way, we're also the St. Louis region. There is a lot of Illinois area in the Metro East where a lot of people get jobs. So we're being helpful there too. And then there was a columnist at Crain Chicago Business said, hey, you've got to focus on Chicago. What is it? And it this is totally unfair, but it occurred to me this is like, saying, will you marry me? But I'm sending some flowers to my old girlfriend just in case. I know that's totally unfair because all of us in our jobs have to have plan B when plan A fails. But, any of it would be good for Illinois, I think, and I think both sides would get it. But for the governor, who has said how terrible Illinois' business climate is for more than 2 years and three and a half, really, if you count the campaign time when he has been saying just how terrible Illinois is for business, it is an interesting thing. He just had the trip to Japan and China trying to sell the state to companies there to expand or come. And now telling Amazon the great things we have in Illinois, the central location, the great universities, et cetera.
Transportation network.
And O'Hare Airport, they need a big airport is one of the things that they want, plus the culture of a big city. So Chicago obviously has more culture than St. Louis, but St. Louis, is no piker there either. So it's an interesting time. We'll see what happens.
And Charlie, this is a pivot that I guess he has to make. In fact, I heard him say at a news conference this week when he was talking to reporters, he mentioned, we have a high income tax. But then he said, but it's not as high as some other states. He sort of backed off, and that's the first time I've ever heard him do that. So this is a pivot he has to make to try to bring this business or other businesses to the state. He could really use that.
Well, yeah. And I always thought it was strange. Oh, I could see politically why you're doing it. The state is in horrible shape, and it's all the Democrats' fault. So how do you, as the governor, go out and encourage people to come to your state when you've been mad-mouthing it all along? You don't hear governors of other states. You don't hear Governor Kasich, for example, saying, oh, it's really in horrible shape, but come put your plant here. No, you're supposed to be a cheerleader. And particularly after you've been in office as long as he has now, he can no longer blame Pat Quinn for the state's problems. They're his problems.
And Scott Walker just got a win by bringing in this Foxconn.
Yeah, and that's interesting too, because the criticism of Rauner of saying, well, we'll work with Missouri if that's where Amazon wants to go, and people criticizing him for it, to me that makes sense because there's not going to be an effort if Amazon locates in Missouri in the St. Louis area to bar people from the state of Illinois working there. Although, interestingly, when Foxconn decided to go to Wisconsin, thanks in part to $3 billion in tax breaks that the Wisconsin legislature approved, there was talk about trying to structure it in such a way that Foxconn could not hire anyone from Illinois. Because where they're talking about locating it, down in the southeastern corner of Wisconsin, there'll be a lot of folks from the northern suburbs, from Lake County, McHenry County, who will go for those jobs. And so some of the economic benefit will come to Illinois, even though we did not have to pay a $3 billion incentive.
Now, Rick, in Chicago, just how big of a deal is this push to bring Amazon to the state?
Well, no doubt, given what Amazon has kind of listed as criteria, certainly Chicago fits the bill in many respects. But part of me thinks this is the bright, shiny object. It's something that people can latch on and focus about, but it's almost, in some respects to me, kind of like a multi-hundred-million-dollar lottery jackpot. And that, while a lot of attention is being given to this in the media, I'm sure Chicago's no different than if we were watching TV in Des Moines and they're talking about it there, or in Minneapolis or anywhere else. And it becomes this kind of self-consuming thing that people almost make it an expectation that we're going to get it when, I think the odds are still pretty far on it. But it becomes this thing that, that it gives the governor something to talk about, rather than perhaps addressing more immediate and more real concerns that we have in this state. Well, and quite frankly, you know, at a recent press conference of I think he spoke Q&A for 10 minutes with reporters, 8 minutes of it was about Amazon, and no one asked him about the latest efforts in Congress by Republicans to repeal and replace Obamacare and the loss of millions of dollars in federal aid under the proposal that's pending there.
Well, just about a minute left here, Rick, but let me ask you, with the problems the state still faces, all of the backlog of bills and things like you mentioned, the pressures that could be coming even from Washington, we know Amazon is going to want some type of tax breaks, tax incentive plan at least, to come to the state. How much can the state give?
Yeah, well, then that's a great question. And you look at as Charlie mentioned, the enormity of the Foxconn giveaway by Wisconsin. And, you know, Illinois traditionally has looked at employment, employer luring efforts as a way to create jobs, and the jobs, they're the real taxpayers, not necessarily the employer here. But, you know, in light of past things that the state has done, you know, there needs to be a whole list of guarantees were this to take place. But, yeah, we just crossed the $16 billion threshold in unpaid bills in this state. So it's going to be a very interesting discussion among the Democratic candidates for governor.
It's time now for our notes from the field. Charlie, let's go ahead and start with you.
Okay, well, we were talking about incentives to get companies to locate in Illinois, and just a few days ago, Governor Rauner signed the renewal of a program called EDGE, which is a business tax credit that goes to companies that create jobs in Illinois. In essence, it allows them credits on their income tax bill for jobs that are created or new locations, new jobs in Illinois. And it had expired in January, and the business community saw it as a very important thing to be renewed.
Bernie?
Something has been going on in Springfield for a while. There's this giant empty lot right downtown, and it's just north of the executive mansion that's undergoing renovation with private dollars that the Rauners have, you know, helped raise and helped donate to. But there used to be a YWCA there. It got torn down, and the city of Springfield is trying to get proposals for how to develop that. And one of the – Governor Rauner is behind one of the plans. It's got a 12-story clock tower. It's got Maggie Daly Park-style playground, you know, based on Chicago. And they just had a firm from Belgium come in, a landscape firm, to tweak their proposal. So, but it's just one of four proposals, and we'll see if Rauner's vision. He's been pretty quiet about it, but the person who really brought it forth is Don Tracy, who is a Springfield guy, who is also the chairman of the Illinois Gaming Board, named by Rauner. So kind of an interesting inside deal that could change the landscape of downtown Springfield.
And Rick?
We talked about the sweetened beverage tax in Cook County. Tony Preckwinkle is up for election next year. So far, no challenge, but from what I'm hearing, I think we're going to start seeing the names of some challengers in the next few days with the petition circulation going on.
That will do it for this week. Members of our broadcast included Charlie Wheeler, Rick Pearson, and Bernie Schoenberg. Production assistance provided by Bob Meyer. I'm Sean Crawford.
You've been listening to State Week, a program of commentary and analysis of events in Illinois state politics and government. State Week is produced in the state capitol by public radio station NPR Illinois. This is IPR, Illinois Public Radio.